Welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. My name is Davina Faust, and I am a life transformation expert. My goal for this podcast is to bring you some positivity every single week and to inspire you to recognize that your struggles are just part of your story. I have completely changed my life, and I just want you to know that you can do the same thing. I'll also be bringing on some really incredible people who are just like you, who have learned to turn their own pain into power. Hey guys, welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. I have a super fun episode for us today, probably one that a lot of us can relate to. I've brought on a very good friend of mine from college, my friend Chris. And funny thing is in college, we kind of had like more of a working relationship, right? This pandemic, we kind of, we started to lean on each other more through, you know, social media and just knowing that we were both kind of quarantining alone. And through that, I got to reconnect with him and make some new memories and also spill some tea on the wonderful world of quarantine dating. In honor of Valentine's Day, I thought us two singles looking for love could just kind of just talk about how the last year has been for us. So Chris, thank you for coming on the show. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. It's the highlight of my day.
Mine too.
Planning my day around this, so I'm glad it was able to work out. And I even showered for you, even though you can't see me. So
everyone knows you smell fantastic now. So yeah. You can go ahead and put that on your.
Listen, it's quarantine, so like showering is a struggle sometimes. So I'm glad I did it. You know.
I hear you. Okay. So anyway, I thought we could start. Basically, with you just kind of explaining where your life was back in March, as far as, you know, you can go into your home life as well, but also your personal life. Like, were you seeing anybody? Were you actively dating? Just kind of like talk us through how the past year has been for you.
Yeah, sure. So if you don't mind, I'll just go back actually about like a year ago at this time. Last January, I finished a run of Shrek the Musical at the Walnut Street Theater. For those of you that don't know, I am a Broadway performer working my way up to the New York scene, and I've toured a lot. So I was working regionally for the holidays and was actually staying at home in South Jersey with my parents. When I work at the Walnut, I'm able to just save some extra money and be home. I was in a long distance relationship. At that point, it was about 10 months. And I was, you know, I was in New York. He was in Minnesota. We were going back and forth. So after Shrek closed, I went back up to New York City to my apartment, which is right around the corner from Davina.
And yet you never saw me. So
however, like this rekindling means I'm going to see you all the time. So it's a beautiful thing.
Let's hope so.
The gift keeps on giving. So then I moved back to New York, and I had just opened the Orange Theory Fitness studio in Long Island City with my former assistant manager from Astoria location. So I was full in the swing of things of that and going back and forth. In March, actually the end of February, I got to go see Celine Dion, which was a life goal of mine. Phenomenal. And then
At least one good thing happened in 2020. Sorry.
That's literally, I'm not even kidding. It is the one thing I've held on to all year. It's like, okay, I got to see Celine Dion. And then the morning after that, my boyfriend and I had gone down to Disney to celebrate our 1 year anniversary and stay with his parents and spend some time with them. When we were in Florida, we got word that the first case of COVID had hit New York City. So I knew that when I came back, things would probably start to look a little different. I came back the first full week of March, and sure enough, I worked for a week. And then on the 16th of March, I was laid off from Orange Theory Fitness. So St. Patrick's Day was my first full day off. And that was not great because I just drank literally from the time I woke up.
Oh no.
I went to bed. I just started to find these little like, you know, enjoyments of, you know, I'm a performer. So I was putting together these like songs for, you know, my Instagram and my Facebook. And then they turned into like full-fledged production numbers that I was doing and like keeping myself sane and trying to like make light of the situation. But I was unemployed. And then around Good Friday, I went out to Minnesota because I realized that I had nothing going on at that point. And so why not spend the time together? And then I was there for about 12 days. My birthday was April 21st. And the day after my birthday, I unfortunately, for the second time, found out that my boyfriend had been cheating on me. And it had been an ongoing thing. I had caught him the July prior and decided to work through it. And then I caught him again the day after my birthday. And I realized at that point he was at work. I was at home in his bed. And, you know, I caught a conversation on his iPad that he was having in the moment. And after a little bit of a meltdown, I called him out on it. He lied to my face. And then I decided I was going to just book a flight home. So I actually called home to have my brother book the flight, knowing that I'd pay him back, but I was just like, I have to get out of here. So I started packing, and this was an all-time low. I just felt like, what the hell? I'd given this guy everything I could. I was trying, you know, and I should also preface this by saying there was an 18-year difference between my ex-boyfriend and I. And so that was already something to work through. But just as far as, you know, where we were in our lives was a challenge. You know, the idea of maybe starting a family of our own was a challenge. Intimacy was a challenge. Just being on the same page with a lot of different elements was a challenge. And so finally, when this moment, I was like, this is my out. Like, I have to go. We've been fighting. We've been trying to work through a bunch of challenges. And I just realized, like, Chris, how much more are you going to take? You're not a punching bag. Get up and go. So he came home. We had some words. And at that point, I knew I had to go. You know, there was nothing he could say that was going to change this. It was the second time. So if I stayed again, I was judging myself. I would have been a fool. And I'm opening the door for it to happen again. So I flew home that night, and that was April 22nd. And I have been home in South Jersey ever since. This is the longest I've been home since before college. In that month after, we also tried to like see if we could work through things again, because I was dumb and stupid and trying to figure my stuff out. And then his birthday is the end of May. So like, I was trying to be the good person and be around for him for his birthday. And unfortunately, that week leading up to and the week after, I found out that the lies had just continued even post breakup. And so at that point, I said to him, I'm never going to trust you. And I got to go. So that was, I think I finally cut it off on June 7th. And so that's the last time I'd spoken to him. And I will honestly say I was like doing really cool things for myself personally at this time, even though I was pissed off and sad and angry. I was running almost every day. I ran my first half marathon, which I never ever thought I would do, because the idea of running more than 5K makes me want to die.
That's that turning pain into power. That's you use that fuel and exactly. You know, it becomes something as amazing. So sorry, keep continuing.
No, it was amazing. But I just started to realize too, at some point, you know, this will make sense as I go into the rest of the summer, is like, I did that half marathon. And then at some point, like my body just started to give out a little bit. And I suddenly started to realize that like the anger wasn't fueling me as much anymore, because my legs were starting to hurt, or I was all of a sudden really, really tired or depressed or didn't want to get out of bed. And, you know, and we all have different ways of grieving. So I carried a lot of the anger through the summer. And then obviously, you know, the political climate kicked up and that fueled to my hate fire. And then I'm living at home as a 31-year-old with my parents and having to respond to them and, you know, asking if I could use their car. I wasn't working. I didn't feel like I had a purpose. Like I couldn't go to the gym. So everything was just really pissing me off. And I started to take my aggression out on the wrong people. And at the time, my parents were both here. My dad's retired. My mom had been temporarily laid off. My brother was working from home. It was just like the four of us were here. We couldn't go anywhere. So I had no escape. And there was also this element of like, no one knows what I'm going through. You know what I mean? Like I was talking to my mom, but I just feel like, you know, it's a different thing. That's my mom. She doesn't understand how I'm feeling. You know, my dad's not one that really talks about emotions much. My brother would check in on me, but like, you know, he's working. So I didn't want to lay it all out on him. And then in August, my grandmother, who was sick with dementia and Alzheimer's, suddenly passed away after a tragic fall. And that was like a big turning point, because I'm like, how else, like, what else could possibly go wrong this year? Like, what else, where could this actually go? 2 days after the funeral, we're sitting down to dinner, the four of us, and a political conversation popped up, dinner. And, you know, I made this joke and my brother ended up taking it the wrong way. And then a conversation unfolded that was misconstrued and misunderstood. And the end result ended up my brother standing up and punching me in the face and giving me two black eyes, to which I stormed out of the house. I refused to swing back on my brother because we had just buried my grandma. My mother was clearly upset. Like, I didn't want to do it. And my mom said, she goes, I don't know what's gotten into you, Chris. And it was not that she was blaming me for, you know, the fight, but she's like, I just think you need to talk to somebody. So she said, something is not right. You're not in the right headspace. You're just, you're angry all the time. So September came and I had done some research. Well, I lost my health insurance. So I was like, okay, great. The year keeps getting better. It's a global pandemic. My insurance is gone. But I'd done some research and found this awesome therapist who I reached out to. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that I could talk to somebody who was open and free and understood the LGBTQ plus community. And I found this wonderful, wonderful therapist who since September has been phenomenal in helping me week to week. Therapy, it's the first time I've gone. I mean, I went a little bit to our like college counselor when we were in college, but that's when I was like coming out and trying to figure out my life. And then this is the first time as an adult that I've really checked into therapy, and it's been so great. And I'm grateful for it because late September, my grandfather was diagnosed with lung cancer. It's just like one thing after another just kept getting worse this year. So like at least the one relationship I needed in my therapist has been the constant. And it's really kind of taught me, and we can go into more, but that's, I just want to sum up here so you can get a word in here.
No, it's okay.
The therapy has been quite eye-opening. You know, it's been this idea of, you know, I'm 31 years old. I came out as a 23-year-old. I tried to make sense of my life. I tried to throw myself into this world and understand it. And, you know, I just can't seem to get ahead yet. I was also always trying to impress someone. I was always trying to please somebody. And I was, in doing that, abandoning myself and not focusing on the relationship that I have with myself, which has been very detrimental into the mental and emotional harm of myself. So that's basically where it is, but we're in a much better spot now. And I would love to, you know, talk more about what I've learned through therapy with you. But yeah, that's been the year. And I would say around October, late October, I probably made a really strong turning point. And I started to respect myself and value who I am as a person, and to know that my expectations can be met by somebody. I shouldn't have to impress somebody because I am enough. I'm whole, alone. Like, I don't need somebody to be my other half. I am a whole individual that brings a lot to the table. But, you know, that's an everyday process. I keep learning more every day, and through journaling and through realizing that, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly all exist together. So I'm not trying to tip the scale just so I can constantly feel happy, because that's just not realistic. But yeah, I think I'm in a good place now.
That's amazing. I'm so happy that the conversation took this turn, because I didn't think it was going to. But it is extremely important. First of all, I'm glad that you have acknowledged that therapy should be normalized. Everyone, I am the loudest advocate for therapy because it has saved my life in 2020. And you're exactly right. Like, when you can speak to someone to get more clarity on why you are the way that you are and why you handle things the way that you do, it makes you a better version of yourself. And then it makes you a better son, a better brother, a better partner, just a better human in general, because you're recognizing patterns that could be detrimental to other people. So bravo for you on that.
Thanks. Yeah. It's
absolutely.
I don't get why there's a stigma. It's been the most freeing I felt, and like freed that I felt in a while. And even in talking to some friends who are struggling through this time, and whether it's just mentally or whether it's relationship wise or they're lonely, like, I have been able to pass on some of the info I've learned and, you know, some of the quotes that I've gathered or the books that I've read. And it's been super, super helpful. But I'll be honest, like, I never thought I'd be the one, and don't get me wrong, I didn't plot it out, I didn't write a note or anything, but there were several moments throughout this year where I was just like, you know, it would be easier just to end it. You know what I mean? It's just easier to end this right now. And I'm not trying to get dark on it, but like the realistic side of like what the world was going through, what our country was going through, what I was personally experiencing, and like felt crippled to even open my mouth to the friends and family that I have, like, talking about it would make me want to panic. I told my therapist, there was just a point where I was like, I feel like I am gasping for air. My nose is the only thing above water right now. Like I'm slow. This is when I first started. I was like, I'm slowly sinking and I can't survive like this. I'm happy to be on the other side of it. And I'm happy to advocate for therapy because it is the best thing I think one person can do to have somebody who has no idea who you are and is there to listen to everything you have to say and only reflect and pose questions and pose scenarios on how you could respond differently. It's just been beyond helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And it resonates with me because I've learned a lot about myself in 2020 when it comes to who I am when I show up in romantic relationships or the process of dating itself. So my story, I've told my story on another podcast a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty. But as far as like relationship sides of things, in the summer of 2019, not going to get into specific details, but I had a pretty traumatic thing happen to me with a man that I was seeing. And so obviously I'm okay, but I definitely needed the mental space and time to heal from that. And that was in July 2019 that happened. And so I straight up took 4 or 5 months to just recover. I wasn't even thinking about dating. I wasn't worried about it. I just wanted to make sure that I was good. And then I made the decision. I think it was like after Valentine's Day, I made the decision that, okay, I am ready to start dating again. Mm-hmm. And then March 13th, 2020, the whole world collapsed. And, you know, great. I'm alone still.
I'm surprised you didn't go join the convent.
I mean, I feel like I'd make a cool sister or, oh, you know, God. But so anyway, my revelation that I've had this year, either through therapy or through the other personal growth events that I've invested in, I realized that I was so afraid of rejection that I would self-sabotage. So, you know, after about 2 or 3 months, I want to say it was like May 2020. So we were quarantined still, but I was just at the point of like, you know what, I need to talk to someone. So I got onto Hinge, a dating app, and I ended up meeting this man who was so, so nice. But for some reason, I was just like, I didn't feel the way that I thought I should be feeling. And so I was just kind of sabotaging it. And I ended up not ever responding to him. And I haven't heard from him since. So that was just me not being able to own up to the fact of like, hey, you know, this virtual dating thing, I don't know if it's working for me, or I don't know what's going on. It just doesn't feel right. Like I did not communicate that properly. And I still feel kind of shitty about that. But you live and you learn.
For sure.
Right. So, and then a few months after that, I had met someone else, and we, at that point, the cases were down in New York City. So we felt comfortable meeting at a park somewhere. You know, we both had masks on, and we didn't have like any major physical contact. I think I gave him a hug, but you know, I wasn't worried. But anyway, I ended up really liking that one. I really liked that guy. And I was looking forward to seeing where things would go with him. And about a week later, I was hoping to maybe schedule date number two with him. He told me that he didn't feel the spark. He wasn't feeling any sort of way with me. So the role that I had played a few months earlier, I was now on the receiving end of that. But It meant that there was something seriously wrong with me, and I was the problem, and I still had work to do. And so it like completely wiped me out.
Yes.
So I realized these patterns, and I realized like, this is something that I need to investigate. This is something that I need to break down. And that's when I realized it's rejection. I was so afraid of rejection that I was not allowing myself any sort of happiness. Like if I was feeling rejected by someone else, it's because I'm unlovable. Even if, you know, that guy back in May could have been amazing, but I just wasn't sure. So I ended up rejecting the situation. I kept myself from being happy. And so this was just like a huge breakthrough for me. And yeah. I was able to talk to a lot of people my own age about it. And, you know, I have my therapist that I talk to about it as well. But I'm really looking forward to this year, because this is the year of like, if I get rejected, who cares? You know, like it's really empowering to take that time to learn that about yourself. And to, if somebody says no, cool. Eventually someone will say yes. So
yeah, that's been, I had a similar situation. I will be honest. Like when I first came home from Minnesota, I was like, you know what? Get back on the apps. Like, even if you can just like, I'm obviously, we're not going to date, but I'm like, talk to people, like just get your mind off of him. And I started to talk to this one guy in New York who was also a performer, and we really connected well. And it turned into like, we would FaceTime every other night or something and like just catch up. And it was nice to have like that companion. And then, you know, we were pretty open. I was open to him about my relationship ending, and he was kind of dealing with the situation. And then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, it was, I think I'm going to explore that situation that I told you about before. And I was like, okay, cool. And I actually respected him a lot for being honest about that. Mm-hmm. And like, that kind of gave me a little bit of like, okay, this is nice. Like, at least, you know, you can talk to somebody and be vulnerable and be open. That's really cool. And then about 2 weeks later, I had connected with somebody who I was like blown away by, and he seemed to even be even more blown away by me. And you know, we connected. And actually, Davina, I want to say this is probably right around when you and I reconnected, because I think I remember telling you this, like, this is the guy that I had like planned this whole park date, and we were gonna have a picnic. He was gonna drive down.
Yeah.
Aww. So I planned this we talked for probably 3.5-4 weeks, and we finally realized we were gonna, you know, we're gonna meet. So he was gonna drive down because he is brothers in North Jersey. He's like, I'll come down, we'll do lunch, we'll do the picnic, and then I'll go back up and stay the weekend with my brother. So I planned this entire thing out, have the whole day like planned, ordered the sandwiches and stuff like the night before. And then something was off. Like that night we talked on the phone for a little bit, and I could tell something had shifted, but he said he was really busy with work. And I'm like, maybe it's just work. Don't you know, the next morning, and I don't ever wake up early. However, I guess the pit in my stomach knew that I should wake up. At like 7:30 in the morning, he texted me that he wasn't coming. And I was like, of course. And then he like ghosted the entire weekend. And he's like, I do owe you a conversation, blah, blah. It took like a week and a half. And I was like, so about that conversation. And he's like, oh, like my ex and I started talking, and I think I'm gonna give that another chance. I'm like, what is it with these people who are on these apps stating that they're available and then they're not? Like, that's, it's very frustrating to me. And like, look, I'm an open book, Davina, I know you are as well. It's just like, I go into something when I'm meeting somebody new, I just want to be the most honest. Like, I want to be myself, I want to feel comfortable, but I want to be honest with you about where I am, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. You know, it's just exhausting, because I've now, you know, and after that, I probably took a little bit of a hiatus. You know, I've been on the apps, but barely talking to anybody. In fact, I realized this right before Christmas. My therapist called me out on it, because I was kind of talking to this guy. I had 2 dates with him, and we both agreed that we were going to like take things slow. Well, on the second date, you know, things got pretty intimate, and I told my therapist about it. And he's like, I thought you said you were going to take it slow. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, good point. But then when
we're also in a quarantine, so like, I understand that. True. Like, you kind of get a little too excited too soon.
Too excited. And look, I'll be the first to admit, I've been very lonely. And like, I'm embracing this loneliness, but in the first like probably 6 months of this, I was so lonely that it was like earth shattering to me. I didn't know how to be alone. I was constantly trying to, again, impress somebody or prove myself to somebody. I'm like, why am I doing this?
It's physically painful. Like, that's the one thing I experienced in 2020 as well, is like just sitting at home. And like, you know, I work a 9-to-5 type of job. So Friday night, I'm alone. All day Saturday, I'm alone. By Sunday, if I'm still alone all day, I'm losing my mind. Like, so
you posted the other day, like, well, I guess, was it Sunday? Maybe it was Saturday.
That I hadn't spoken to somebody face to face in 3 days. Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I at least have my parents, which sometimes I'm like, oh, I would dream to not talk to them for 3 days, but you know what I mean?
The grass is always greener there. It really is.
But it's one of those things too. You're just like, and you said it's physically exhausting, but like even mentally, to sit and think of the hours and the time that you've spent trying to make somebody like you is like, this is not the life I want to live. You know what I mean?
Back when you were like right as shit was hitting the fan with like your grandmother and things. By the way, I'm so sorry for your loss. That's like one of the hardest losses to go through. At least it was for me. But during that time, were you like just kind of, because I would go through these phases where I'd be on the apps, but I'd maybe check it like once every 4 or 5 days, and then people would get mad at me for not answering them, or, you know, like, were you kind of just keeping your options open, but not really like interested? Like, what was the kind of that like for you?
I mean, so I was on, I was down, I shouldn't say I was on vacation because no one's really had a vacation, but I went down to the shore the week, that my grandmom died. I had gone down on a Sunday. My parents were supposed to come down Tuesday night, and my grandmom passed away Monday morning. So they didn't end up coming till Wednesday. Now at that point I was on the apps. I was active on them. I was like talking to people. Now I'm talking, this was like, I was on Grindr. I was on Scruff. I was on Hinge. I was on Bumble. I was on Tinder, whatever it was I was on. Cause I'm like, you just be open, keep your options open. You know, was I seriously pursuing anybody? No. Did I seriously think I was ready to be in a relationship? No. But I was like, let's just keep the door open. Mm-hmm. Once she died, I honestly, in a weird way, was like using, and I wasn't in therapy at this point yet, so I was like using talking to somebody a little bit as therapy, just to like be able to like voice my thoughts to somebody, or like, you know, find that person that I thought was attractive, that I wanted to see if the communication was there. And I'll be honest, there was no real connection during that point. There was one gentleman who I ended up talking to, I think the end of the week she passed away. And then I didn't end up getting to meet him until like late September. That was Boston guy Davina.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like when they have code names. It makes it like Boston. It's easier for my brain.
And no one else will know, but Boston guy, you know. So it's, yeah, it was an odd time, but I think it was just nice to have somebody who I didn't know to talk to about what I was going through, especially in the pandemic, where I know that whoever this individual was, they're clearly going through something and I'm going through something, and we're all on this journey of like figuring out what life is right now. So I would say I was probably like a 60-40. I was like 60% pursuing it, 40 definitely not.
Mm. So how are you feeling about, where does love fit into the picture right now? Or dating, like what are your hopes and dreams for the romantic portion of 2021?
I am, I will be honest, like for whatever reason with 2021, I'm a little more hesitant, like, and I'm not gonna lie, I had a small bubble and I still have a small bubble of people I see, but I'm just, now that the vaccine's here, I'm really focused on trying to get my parents vaccinated because I'm constantly around them. And like, once they have that, I won't feel as guilty being out as frequently, but like I'm babysitting now, so I gotta be mindful of the kids. I'm, you know, seeing my best friend who's pregnant. I'm with my parents who are in their 60s. Like I have to be mindful of that. However, as far as love's concerned, like I'm open to it. I do feel ready to receive it again. And I know I'm ready to, I think I'm ready to give it. I think that's going to be a very situational process, in the sense that I want to make sure that I'm on the same page. I'm definitely paying more attention to red flags. And I will say there were many red flags with my ex, and I knew it from the first time I met him. But for some reason I was avoiding them. I wasn't wanting to bring them up. And
it's the rose colored glasses, like you said, because I've been in a situation like that too, where my intuition is so sharp and she knows her shit, and she'll be like, Davina, you deserve better than this. This is not right for you. But I'm just like, oh, well, it's him. Maybe he's just this. And it's like, you're making excuses for things that you know you don't deserve. Yeah. It's very frustrating.
It is so frustrating because, you know, in that moment of figuring it out, you would never settle for this. And yet something in your brain, because it's totally not your gut, because your gut's telling you the opposite, your brain is like, no, I can ignore that. I can figure that out later. I can excuse this behavior. And I will say, you know, and I'm just using this as an example, like there were two people who I've been talking to recently that are both going through a divorce. And I'm like, they're not divorced yet. And to me, I've written to both of them. I'm like, I do not feel comfortable getting involved with you at this point. because I think you need to close one door before you can open another. And I just, and knowing what it was like, A, to be cheated on, you know, I've been involved with somebody who was in an open relationship before, and that did not end well for me. So it's like, I just don't want to have to settle for these situations that I know in my heart I don't want. So I'm not, and I will never fault you for being divorced, but please make sure the divorce is finalized before you pursue me. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's not- like a, that's a crazy stressful time anyway. And not even just like romantically speaking, but just like it affects your finances. It affects your living situation.
Not to knock, but the one of the gentlemen has children. So I'm like, I just think it's too much for me to get involved at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I think you need to figure your stuff out. If at some point we can connect, great. But I said, right now I'm not wanting to go to dinner with you because I don't feel that you're fully available. And that's not me projecting. It's just like, I don't want to put myself in that situation.
Right. And so, you're also saving him from that added problem in the future. He's got enough to deal with right now. Sure. So, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm definitely, to answer your, like, I am open to it. I think it'll happen. And I'm really kind of embracing the whole, like, it'll happen when it's supposed to. You know, I'm still learning a lot about myself and about the trauma that I just went through in the last year. And, you know, I'm not afraid to talk about it. And I do know that it is part of who I am. But my therapist said something very pivotal quite early on. He said, the minute you know, and I will be honest, at that point, I was like opening up about my life to everybody. But it's because I was talking about it so frequently that I convinced myself that I was still living it. Do you know what I mean? Like, the more we talk about something, subconsciously, we convince ourselves that that is still our present. And so I have learned to just accept that that was the situation. I did experience it. I went through it. He fell short. I was not perfect, but like, there are things that you just have to learn to leave in the past. And for me to even try to be the tiniest ounce happy, I can't keep living in this negative, hurtful, shameful world that I was living in when this all went down. So I've kind of just left it back in April and May, and that's where it'll stay forever.
100%. I'm over here nodding my head because we have all been at some point in our lives that person to rehash an argument in the shower that happened, you know, like, how would I say it now, knowing what I know now, you know? But I heard an amazing quote a few days ago. I was listening to the Oprah podcast because, like, I'm Oprah in training, gotta do my research. But it was Tracy Jackson, and she said, we do not have to be a Sherpa for our mistakes. Ooh. So we don't have to constantly carry around the things that we did wrong, the problems that we've had. Like, we have the choice to let it go. And it's a very hard choice to make, but it's a very powerful one, and it's very freeing. And you just physically feel lighter, and you physically feel more in the present moment. And I think that's something that we all deserve, especially right now. Life is so precious. You know, there's terrible things happening every day, but we were given another day. So what's the point of living in the past, you know?
You just brought up the quote, and there are two things. If you don't mind, do you mind if I share two quotes that have really been helpful?
Yeah.
One is, I think I just found it on Google, but it's by Brené Brown. And it just,
I love Brené.
Hey, girl.
Girl, shout out to Brené.
One day you will tell your story of how you overcame what you went through, and it will be someone else's survival guide, which I think is very empowering. And then something my therapist gave me that I actually just shared with a friend 2 days ago. This is called Love After Love by Derek Walcott. And I actually have gotten to the point where I read this every Monday morning. I will write it in my journal once a week just so I can get it back in my head and be like, okay, this is good. So it's Love After Love, Derek Walcott. The time will come when with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit. Feast on your life. The end.
The end. Oh, well, I'm raising my red wine to my screen right now.
My Superman shaker for you.
I love that. It's so beautiful. I don't even want to comment on that because I don't want to screw up how beautiful that was.
I will see you and you can have a copy if, in case anyone wants a copy of it from your podcast.
Absolutely. I'll share it around. So we've got through some really beautiful emotional stuff right now, but I also...
I'm cutting you off. I answered the question, where are you, Divina? Where are you in this?
Okay. Are you like a co-host of this podcast? Or
I co-host everything I do, so yes.
I know. Okay, so where I'm at, I'm very open. I'm very open to receive. And I'm also, I'm meeting people where they're at, I think, because I know exactly what I want. But I know that, you know, if you show up and you say to someone, hi, I know exactly what I want, that like is kind of terrifying sometimes. So I'm just, you know, I'm meeting people. I'm going with the flow. I have recently, like I mentioned this earlier, my intuition is very, very sharp. My intuition knows what is up. And typically what happens is like, if I feel something in my gut, I will pray on it. And then typically God will come through for me and he'll give me a major sign somehow, or I'll do these morning exercises where, you know, I just sit in stillness and I let myself be open to receive spiritual guidance. And then I will just free journal. So literally I will just write on the page whatever divine message is coming through for me today. And recently I've had this kind of revelation that I think I don't necessarily need dating apps. And I know that's kind of a crazy thing to say, especially in this climate and especially in this culture. Like, I feel like every third person has met their husband or wife on a dating site. Mm-hmm. But I think with the process of my life, with the lessons I have learned, with knowing who I am, I just feel like I have that power inside of me to meet someone organically. You know what I mean? Like to just be out somewhere and just have a conversation with somebody and it lead to something beautiful. And so I'm going to follow that nudge. I'm also probably will end up joining eHarmony in a few months if it doesn't work. But
I'm really empowered to hear you say this, because all due respect, like, I don't think you're going to meet somebody for you fully on an app. I don't think an app, no matter what you write in it, no matter what photos, does you, and I'm not saying this just to blow smoke up your ass, but does you justice. Like, part, I can tell you, meeting you, and I remember it was the night of, don't worry, we weren't actually kidnapped, but the night of kidnapping, I remember you said something in that theater, and I was like, who is this girl? I want to really get to know her. Because it was just funny. Like, you have this presence about you that you speak, not to mention your laugh that is the most infectious laugh in the world. But it's, I think you're right. You're going to meet somebody very organically, and you are so involved with, you know, the classes you teach, your work, your friends. Like, I do think someone's going to bump into you and be like, oh, hey, what's up? And you're gonna be like, well, damn, there you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy you shared that with me, because I never knew that.
No, you have a very infectious personality. And I think that you're very personable. And even in awkward situations, you're the one that can make a really funny joke out of it. And so I kind of agree with you too. Like, I've deleted all but two apps on my phone because I'm like, I don't know that this is going to be the way.
Which apps are you on? Just out of curiosity.
I'm just on Hinge and Tinder right now, which I find to be the more conversational of
That's the thing about Tinder, is like, it has such a bad reputation, but I talk to, like, people are willing to talk on there, and people are willing to actually meet on there. It's crazy how it's like, it's got such a bad reputation, but it's like the most laid back of all the apps.
For sure. I think I've had a better connection with people off of Hinge. I don't know why. I just didn't like the setup, and I think it's a little more personable. Tinder, I've talked to some pretty nice guys though. It's a nice communication tool. It's not it's not really as much as the hookup that Grindr.
I just had like the most random thought. Like, have you? Because I've been in this situation before. Like, especially now that you're at your parents' house, have you had an experience where you have someone pop up on the app that you know in real life? Like, it's somebody that you like went to high school or college with, and you're just like, oh, what do I do?
Yes. Yes, A. And I will never be afraid to block them.
I don't know. If I was a gay man in Philadelphia, like, I would be like swiping right on the Dave Smiths, the Brandon McMullins, the whoever else. Like, I would be swiping right on those.
Funny enough, you mentioned, and I don't know that he knows it yet, but Brandon McMullen and I just matched. So,
love connection through my podcast. You're welcome. Anyway, so I interrupted you with that little tangent, and I'm sorry.
I had interrupted you saying that I think you're going to meet somebody in person. And I actually want to piggyback off that, because I think that I'm really looking forward to the day where we're able to go back to a bar without a mask, without social distancing, and meet somebody in person.
I was just feeling this like a week ago. Like, it was one of those Friday nights I had nothing to do. I was like, all I want to do is to go to the Mexican restaurant and sit and drink a strong margarita and speak to someone. Like, whether that be just me shooting shit with the bartender, or like making a new like female friend that comes in, or just, you know what, like, I just miss that human connection so much. Absolutely. And I think it's so important. And I think we're all starting to realize how important it is.
Yes, very much so. I'm desperate for it. and a strong margarita.
Well, the word is not desperate. The word is, my word of 2021 is passionate. I'm going to be passionate either with my relationships or with just my purpose in life, or just the work that I do, the people that I spend time with, the people that I care about. I'm going to be as passionate as possible.
I love that. This is the second year a friend of mine reached out and asked, what's your word for the new year? And I thought about it for a little bit, and I decided on joy. Yeah, I want to find the joy, I want to embrace the joy, and I want to be the joy. So I want to, after a year of sitting in the wallows and not knowing what the hell's going on, I really just want to find the joy in everything I'm doing. I think, 2020 was so stagnant and so stale that I was like just not enjoying anything. And I think so much as humans in general, before the pandemic, during the pandemic, now after, hopefully we do lose sight of the things that bring us joy. So I'm really trying to embrace and take note of that this year.
Yay. Oh, I love you so much. And I'm so glad that even though you had a tough year, you are coming out on the other side and you are in a good place. And we're starting out on the right foot for 2021. Knock on all of the wooden surfaces in my near vicinity.
I'm literally tapping the windowsill as you're speaking.
And I'm just sending you so much support and encouragement. And
I got you, friend. And you know, well, I mean, if anything, we've been, I say forced, not in a bad way. We've been forced to reach out to those we care about this year because we can't see them. We can't be around them. And I will say, you and I probably connected more right before this all started. We were going out a couple nights, me, you, and Ashley, Ashley? Yeah.
We went to Second Son, I think. And we were there for like a really long time, and then we went somewhere else.
Yeah, you were supposed to go home and do your laundry, and we kept you out to like 1:30. It was fun. but no, I think it's just been, I'm finding the joy, if you will, in these relationships that have always meant something to me, but maybe I'm just now connecting with the individuals a little bit more for various reasons. And so you're definitely one of those people. And I mean, look, you and I, yeah, I agree with you. In college, we were like a working relationship. We would, if we saw each other at a party or out, we would enjoy each other, but we never really were in each other's tight circle. And so it's been kind of a really great gift that we've been back into each other's lives this year. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, I love you, friend. And if anyone else would like to be friends with you, or if you're open to meeting new people, or having them follow along with how your virtual events are going or what's coming up for you in the future, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, sure. So I'm like literally about to delete Twitter because I just can't anymore. And I don't,
it's a toxic place. It really is.
You can follow me on Instagram at CJ Stevens, STEVENS 421. So that's at CJ Stevens 421. I'm also on Facebook, but I kind of keep that just for like family and friends. But follow along on Instagram. I post all the things I do there. If you're interested in hiring me for a virtual singing event, I'm available and willing to sing for you. And we'll set up a Zoom meeting and get that going. But Otherwise, keep an eye out, because once this all lifts, I'll be back in New York and doing some hopefully great things. And if not, find me at a bar with Davina.
And he is looking for love, fellas. So shoot your shot. Slide in those DMs.
I want to ask you, Davina, if what? You don't mind before we go, what is your plan in this current state for this Valentine's Day?
Probably taking a bubble bath and eating pizza and watching some sort of movie in the bathtub, because that has been my annual tradition for the past two or 3 years that I haven't had. I haven't had a Valentine, and you know, I don't really believe in sulking about it. So what I do instead is to just kind of really feed into the self-love, and literally feed into the self-love by eating pizza in the bathtub.
I'm obsessed with this.
I have a little tray. You can get one on, I'll drop an Amazon link in the show notes below. So,
oh my gosh, I love it.
What are your plans for Valentine's Day?
Oh, literally nothing. Actually, a mutual friend of ours, Eliza Martin, and I will probably...
Eliza.
We're going to be doing I don't know if anyone will actually do it for that day, but we did the whole Christmas sing-along and cook-along thing. I think we're going to do the week leading up to a dinner for two. So I think she'll cook, and then I'll serenade with some of the classic love songs, and we'll see. Maybe that I'll be doing that. If not, I might just be alone. I haven't been drinking because of this new diet thing I'm doing. So I think maybe I might open a bottle of champagne and just celebrate Chris Stevens on Valentine's Day, because that sounds like a really good idea.
And you've made it through a hard freaking year, and you deserve to be celebrated and celebrate yourself. So
I'll FaceTime you after you get out of the town. We'll share a bottle of sparkly.
Well, you usually FaceTime me while you're on the toilet. So what else is new?
If you need to find me on Marco Polo, you can also get a toiletgram at
you're a shithead, and I love you. And I'm so happy we've had this conversation.
Hey, and what's the most valuable thing, is that you're enough, I'm enough. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we're working on the relationship with ourselves, we're only going to be stronger for that individual who comes into our lives at some point. So
I have a tattoo on my stomach that says you are enough, and you have a tattoo on your arm that says be brave. And I think both of those things are really great ways to carry ourselves through 2021.
I love it. I love you so much. I'm squeezing you through the computer.
I love you too.
My goal for this podcast is to always spread some positive vibes. And to keep that good energy flowing, it would mean a lot to me if you could share this episode with your friends or leave a nice review on iTunes. Or you could always find me on Instagram at Davina Faust and take a screenshot of the episode. But remember, no matter what it looks like for you, your happiness is worth fighting for.